Hello, my friends, and welcome. Do you ever have those moments when you feel like God doesn't hear you? When you're a little afraid that he's not listening? I was thinking about that the other day because he's been hearing a lot from me lately. When it hit me that maybe we're the ones that aren't listening to God, because God is always there for us. So as we begin our worship today, let's take some time just to center and to listen. May he speak to each of us, to our hearts and our needs. And may we have the ears to listen. Let's turn to God in prayer. Dearest Lord, we thank you for this new day, this church family, and this opportunity to once again gather and connect from near and far. We thank you for the gifts that each one brings and lift up each with gratitude, even as we pray that all might be used according to your purpose to further your kingdom. Lord, the noise of this world just continues to be so loud and the distractions so intense. There is so much going on and it seems to be ramped up daily. We so long to hear your voice and feel your presence. So again, we pray that you would quiet our busy minds, calm our anxious hearts, and come to us now and speak to us. And may we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let's welcome Nathan Drake as he leads us in word and song.
Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's worship.
Comes from Matthew 21, verses 23 through 32. Hear God's word. Then Jesus was back in the temple teaching. The high priests and leaders of the people came up and demanded, "Show us your credentials. Who authorized you to teach here?" Jesus responded, "First, let me ask you a question. You answer my question, I'll answer yours. About the baptism of John, who authorized it, heaven or humans? Well, they were on the spot and they knew it. They pulled back into a huddle and they whispered, if we say heaven, he'll ask us why we didn't believe him. If we say humans, we're up against it with the people because they all hold John up as a prophet. They decided to concede that round to Jesus. We don't know, they answered. Jesus said, then neither will I answer your question. Tell me what you think of this story. A man had two sons. He went up to the first and said, son, go out for the day and work in the vineyard. And the son answered, I don't want to. And later on, he thought better of it, and he went. The father gave the same command to the second son. He answered, sure, glad to. But he never went. Which of the two sons did what the father asked? They said, well, the first. And Jesus said, yes. And I tell you that crooks and whores are going to precede you into God's kingdom. John came to you showing you the right road. You turned up your noses at him, but the crooks and the whores believed him. Even when you saw their changed lives, you didn't care enough to change and believe him. May God give us understanding of his holy word. Let's take a moment, a silent prayer. Amen. You know, as I mentioned, God has been hearing a lot from me during this challenging year, and I suspect I'm not alone in my cries to him. But you know, I've also been hearing a lot back, sometimes in very unexpected ways, even when I can't initially perceive it. And one of the strong messages that keeps coming to me is, take time to reflect on your journey. Haven't I always been there for you? Haven't I always brought you through the dark times, through seemingly impossible circumstances? Haven't I made you stronger in the process and led you to places you never expected to be, doing things you never expected to do? And yes, God has never, ever, not once, abandoned me, even as he continues to surprise me. And as we reflected on this passage, I suspect that many of us can see ourselves in both of these sons. I mean, for starters, who doesn't want to be seen as a good person? And how often do we say yes to God's leading, only to find ourselves backing away? We always have seemingly good reasons to do it, of course. But a question we have to face every single day is, are we really living out our faith? Or are we just talking the talk? Are we following God's leading or just deluding ourselves like those high priests and leaders in the temple? And then there are the other times our first reaction is like that first son. No way! And then something moves us to change our heart and our mind so that we actually say yes in our actions. In recent weeks, God has been reminding me over and over of those times I've resisted and how wrong I've been, and how without exception, each no that's been changed to a yes has been literally life-changing. First, being pushed to return to the church at the lowest point of my life, divorced, feeling sure to be rejected, fearful of judgment through experiences I've had with the church and hypocrisy. And my initial answer, I confess, was no way. But God moved me to yes, and everything changed. And then being asked to lead a children's after-school program and then direct a vacation Bible school program. I mean, me? That wasn't my thing. No way. But God still moved me to a yes. It wasn't easy, but I did it. And it was the right thing to do at that time. And then, totally unexpectedly, pushing me to attend seminary through an extension program at the church, preparing me to be a pastor, a single, totally messed up mom with two kids and just trying to put the pieces together. I mean, that's crazy. But God moved me to yes. I had no clue why, but I felt, well, I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I guess that's what I'm supposed to do. And then, you know, moving me to go to Princeton to leave my family, my safety net, my support system, to take all kinds of risks to move to New Jersey to finish seminary. I mean, no way, no way, no way. Now, 32 years later, I'm still here, and where God has given me so many unexpected, different ways to serve. So yeah, at the right time, God moved me to say yes. Yeah, I've shared a lot of this with you before, but you know what? These are just literally a few of the hundreds, maybe thousands of times that God has moved me past my no's to yeses, to going places I didn't want to go, doing things I didn't think I wanted to do, but feeling that that's what he was calling me to do, and that to live out my faith, I needed to do it. I suspect that if you take a moment to reflect yourself, that you too may have some very surprising stories to share. Strange as it seems, God so often actually answers our prayers and gives us what we truly need and want by pushing us through what we resist. It's really counterintuitive though, isn't it? The unfortunate thing is that as long as we get caught up in the values of our culture, feeling the need just to look good on the outside, feeling the need to win the approval of others, we'll always be lost. And it's hard to admit, but we are all broken. Maybe in different ways, but we are all broken. But God's not interested in what we say. And God's not interested in pretense or promises. God is interested in what we actually do. And he keeps giving us a new chance to do what he calls us to do. Roger G. Talbot tells a story of a young minister who graduated from seminary just before World War I. And he was appointed to a church in a very small town. He'd been there only a couple of weeks when he received the call that every new pastor dreads, the call to do his first funeral. The person who had died was not a member of his church. She was, in fact, a woman with a rather bad reputation. Her husband was a railroad engineer who was away from home much of the time. She'd rented rooms in their house to men who worked on the railroad. And rumor had it that she just rented more than the rooms when her husband was away. The young preacher, faced with his first funeral, found no one who had a good word to say about this woman until he entered a small old grocery store on the day before the funeral. And he began to talk to the store owner about the sadness that the first person he would bury would be someone about which nothing good could be said. The store owner didn't say much at first. And then, in his silence, he appeared to make a decision. He took out his store ledger and he laid it on the counter between him and the preacher. And he opened the ledger at random, and covering the names in the left-hand column, he pointed to grocery bills written in red. Groceries that people had bought on credit. And then the column that showed the bill had been paid. He said every month, that woman would come in and ask me who was behind in their grocery bills. It was usually some family who had sickness or death or some poor woman trying to feed her kids when her husband drank up the money. She would pay their bill, and she made me swear never to tell. But I figure now she's dead, people ought to know, especially those who benefited from her charity, who have been most critical of her. Yeah. God can use us even in our brokenness, and sometimes most because of our brokenness. And God is also interested in the promises we keep, the commitments that we make. Stories told of a fairly rich young man who'd been taken to the hospital. He was critically ill and his condition worsened. He was confined there for weeks. His doctor even told him that he wasn't sure he'd recover, but that he would continue to do all that he could. The man was obviously scared to death. And finally, at some point, he said, "Please, doctor, do everything you can. I don't want to die. I have so much yet to do in life. I have so much I want to do. And if you can help me get better, I'll even donate $10,000 to the fund for the new hospital." Well, the young man happily began to improve, and he recovered. And a few weeks later, he was released and he went home. Several months later, while he was out in town, he actually ran into the doctor on the street, and the doctor asked him how he felt. And the man said, "Doc, I haven't felt better any time in my life." And the doctor said, "You know, that is great, because I actually wanted to ask you about the money you said you wanted to donate to the new hospital fund. You remember you said that if you got well, you'd like to donate $10,000, and well, we could really use that right now." The young man said, "Oh, wow. Man, if I said that, I must have really been sick." Well, the truth is, we all struggle to keep our commitments, especially when our choice comes at a big cost. But in the end, it's not about what's doing easy. It's about what's doing right. Keith Ridinger tells a story from God's Little Lessons on Life for Dad about a man named Adrian Thomas who held a bonfire out behind his drugstore in Myersdale, Pennsylvania. His family had owned and operated that store for three generations. But during the winter of 1992, he came to a fateful decision. He'd seen too many deaths of his friends caused by lung cancer and heart disease. For 96 years, his family business had sold tobacco products. But on that day, Thomas, his family members, and his employees boxed up all the cigars, snuff, pipe, tobacco products, all of it, and piled them in the middle of the parking lot. And Thomas struck a match and used his state tobacco license to start the fire. The crowd gathered, and Thomas told the local media he could no longer put profits ahead of the health of his patrons. Perhaps that single event didn't change the smoking habits in society or the stores, but this was not a decision based on economics. Thomas was responding from his own sense of integrity. It took Thomas years to change that family business. Thankfully, he made a commitment, and like the first son in our story, he acted out of a sense of integrity. He did the right thing. My friends, you and I will continue to face tough choices as followers of Christ. But my prayer is that even when it's hard, even when it's scary, even when the cost seems great, even when we feel too broken, that we will put our faith in action and do the right thing. Because at the end of the day, it's not about what we say. It's not about what we promise. It's not about the image we project. It's about what we actually do to live out our faith as Jesus taught. It's about integrity. It's about honesty. It's about living as those who genuinely show our love of God by serving others with love, even when it's scary. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, strengthen our faith today. Let this parable of the two sons help us to understand that our faith becomes true faith only when our intentions produce deeds. By the power of your Spirit, enable us to follow in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus, to trust, love, and obey you with our whole hearts, so that you may find us faithful laborers in your vineyard on the day of your return in glory. Forgive us the ways we fail, and help us to do what is right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends, especially in times of uncertainty like this, it can be all the harder to do what we know is the right thing. But it's all the more important during these times. And the God who is with us always is with us right now. He is there to help us to do that right thing. So know that as we do it, and as we confess the ways we fail to do it, God will set us right and forgive us. Know that indeed in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and made brand new. In Jesus' name, amen. And now let's continue in prayer with Jill Duffield.
Almighty God, when we consider what you have done for us, we are filled with awe and wonder. You sent your Son to save us. You set the table for us, and Jesus himself serves us. You do not leave us in the dark, but send the light of Christ to guide us in the ways of grace and truth. You give us your living word, a compassionate community, the bread of heaven, and the prayers of the faithful. We lack nothing, and therefore we will fear no evil. We ask, Good Shepherd, for your rod and staff to guide and comfort us. While we lament our inability to be together in churches, we rejoice in the ability to praise you no matter where we are gathered. Knowing that you give us the gift of prayer and the responsibility to care for each other, we lift up to you now those who feel as if they have been in the valley of darkness for far too long. Bring comfort to the brokenhearted and relief to the oppressed. Grant peace to those afflicted with anxiety and heal the sick. Strengthen all of those doing essential work. Protect them and ease their fears and those of the ones who love them. Give wisdom and discernment to people in positions of power. Help us all look to the interest of others so that all may have the abundant life that Christ came to give. Lord, you call us by name and show us where to go and how to serve. You are the gate through which our comings and goings gain purpose, and we participate in your present and coming kingdom. Help us better to hear your voice so that we would not submit to lesser gods or vain pursuits. As we wrestle with the stress of this season, the uncertainty and suffering of this pandemic, lead us in the ways of righteousness. Make us brave in our kindness, tireless in our work for justice, humble in our walk with you. Do not let us grow weary of doing good. as we come together across time and space with the whole communion of saints, we seek to reflect your love, sharing with one another, supporting the weak, tending the vulnerable, breaking bread with all people, knowing we are reconciled and saved to the grace of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
My friends, there's no question that we live in challenging times, stressful times. And it's easy to make excuses when we're uncomfortable following the path we know we should take. But God is there to strengthen us. God is there to point us the right way. And it's never been more important for us to follow and to truly live what we say we believe, to truly love our neighbors, and to love God. And now may you go in God's strength, in God's mercy and wisdom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen, and God bless you.